any courses related to Bhagavad Gita, whether it's Bhakti Shastri or they have a number of other courses these days. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so quite a few went for systematic study of Bhagavad Gita, and I think that would be helpful to see how these themes or these elements are fitting into the picture, into the overall picture of Bhagavad Gita. So many of you would know, I suppose, then what is the title, the general title of the first 6 chapters? Karma Yoga. And so the title Yoga of Success is related to the title Karma Yoga, because success is really meant for devotees. There is one verse in the end of Bhagavad Gita, actually the concluding verse. This is chapter 18, text 78. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Danuddaraha Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhutir Dhruvani Tirma Tirma Mahaprabhu. So Krishna says, I mean not Krishna, but Sanjaya concludes Bhagavad Gita, and he's saying that wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, Yogeshwara, and wherever there is Arjuna, the winner of wealth, Dhananjaya, or Danurdharaha, that the best of all archers. In that place, there will always be 4 things, which are Shri. What is Shri? Wealth. Vijaya.
Victory.
Bhuti. That stands for extraordinary power. Like, if you remember, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Vibhuti Yoga. Specific extraordinary powers of the Supreme Lord. So, bhuti means power. So, wealth, success, power, and the last one is Niti. What is Niti? Niti Shastra, some of you might remember. Chanakya Pandit Niti Shastra. What is Niti? You have traditional name in very popular in Indian communities, Niti. So what is Niti?
Morality or
purity. Yeah, morality. Or purity. Prabhupada was saying purity is the force, right? So actually there are many more benefits resulting from Krishna consciousness development, but it's interesting that this is the concluding verse of Bhagavad Gita. And so we can see that if Bhagavad Gita or Krishna conscious principles are applied properly, this is what you got to have. And we'll be talking more about that, because these are the topics which are not often explored, as we have kind of renounced monastic aspect prevailing in our society. But it doesn't mean that Krishna consciousness have to be bereft of, you know, good things in life. So this is what we'll be discussing. And if you turn to the page 3, there are 6 ingredients of success listed here. And 4 benefits resulting from application of Bhagavad Gita. So that we already mentioned, connected to verse 1878. But then the main one of these 4, who will tell us which one of the 4 is the main?
First one?
No, wrong answer.
3 left.
3 left. So opulence, victory, power, and morality. Which one is the main, the most important?
Fourth.
Yes, thank you. My poor mother, Prabhu. gave the right answer. Morality, niti. And actually, it is connected to the second one in a very interesting way. In chapter 10, text 38, Krishna says, of those seeking victory, I am morality. So again, purity is the force. Because even if the first three are in place, but morality or purity is missing, then these three will not really give lasting benefit. Okay, and on the top you have six ingredients of success, and this is actually coming from professional or scientific analysis. What we've done in this course also, we kind of blended together modern views and or modern techniques of achieving success and putting them in the framework of Bhagavad Gita, showing how these two are connected. Actually, it's very important for us to understand Bhagavad Gita in a modern context and in a very practical context, understand what Bhagavad Gita really is. It's a manual for human life, and first thing, it is a manual for success in life. And the only difference would be that so many people trying to achieve success for themselves, but what we are meant to try to achieve success, or whom we should we try to achieve success for? Yes, to make Krishna successful, you know, to help people to understand Krishna, and actually that should be, you know, your motivation. Like some of the devotees are studying in university or, you know, doing different professional things in the world. So what could be your motivation in doing these things? Because superficially these things are not directly related to Krishna consciousness, but what could be one of your motivations in doing that?
Personal success,
but why would you want to do that?
Name and fame.
Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
Okay, that outside, materialistic people would do that for name and fame, but we know that this would not be the right motivation for devotees, right? Mm. So what would be the right motivation for devotees in succeeding materially?
It gives people who look at us from outside, they'll see that these devotees are also truly successful. It makes us attractive.
Very good. Thank you, Prabhu. And your name is?
Mickey.
Mickey. Thank you, Prabhu. So, yeah, this is the right answer. That there is a similar story in Mahabharata where in Maharaj Yudhishthira went to Krishna and he said, Krishna, I have a request. Can you please fulfill my request, my desire? And Krishna is, you know, very happy that Maharaj Yudhishthira wants something from him, and he's ready to do whatever he wants, and he's expecting, oh, probably he wants like pure devotional service, love of God, something, you know, really grand, spiritual. He said, yes, my dear Yudhishthira, tell me what you want. I can fulfill any desire of yours. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira says, I want three things. First, I want to be the richest man on the planet. Second, I want to have I want to become the most powerful man on the planet. You know, the greatest of all kings. And third, I want to become the most famous. And Krishna is a bit confused, and he says, well, that's a little bit discouraging, you know. Why do you want these things, you know? Because I thought you are my devotee, and you're not supposed to desire all these things. And what Maharaj Yudhishthira's reply is, he says, yes, I don't need these things for myself. But I'm sick and tired of people telling that these guys, these Hare Krishnas, are all losers. They're all beggars, you know. And we're not interested in becoming like them. So I want the whole world to see here is a devotee of Krishna. And he has all wealth, top power, and he is so famous. Of course, I mean, what kind of preaching that would be if we would show an example of losers, right? And how would we encourage the world to take up to Krishna consciousness, right? But actually, these things, they all belong to Krishna, and they all meant to be used in Krishna's service. And devotees are meant to use these things in Krishna's service. And I would say this is what yoga of success is. And the term which is used by our acharyas is practical renunciation. What is the Sanskrit term? Anyone knows? Yukta Vairagya. Yeah, yukta means engaged, and Vairagya means renunciation. That means we don't want anything for ourselves, but for Krishna, we want everything. And so we'll be speaking about these things. And so six ingredients of success. The first one is peace of mind. And actually, peace of mind is very much highlighted in Bhagavad Gita. This is comes from professional sources. And professionals in success, they say that this is the first and foremost ingredient of success, peace of mind. And what is peace of mind? That is freedom from anger, fear, and what they say is guilt. But what Bhagavad Gita says, chapter 2, text 56, tu kesha nudvigna manat su keshu vigatas priha, vidaraga bhayakratha, stitadir munir uchyate, that a sage who controls his mind, he is equipoised in dukkha and sukha, in happiness and distress, and he is free from vita, raga, and baya. Vita means become free. Raga, baya, and krodha. Raga means attachment, then baya is
fear,
and krodha, anger. So the only little difference is that Bhagavad Gita says attachment. One should become free from attachment, and modern researchers say from guilt. But we can understand that these things are very closely related, attachment and guilt. Anyone wants to explain to us how these things are related to each other? Attachment and guilt, are they related? It's very easy, right? Give me an example of attachment.
Family.
Huh?
Family.
Family attachment, how that would manifest, family attachment.
Husband and wife?
Husband and wife.
Being
attached
to each other?
Huh?
Being attached to your husband or your wife or your brother,
but
or your
of mom. Course, here we're not talking about Krishna conscious attachments. It speaks about materialistic attachments.
Being attached to your car?
Being attached to your car, okay. And so how that manifests?
You're thinking about your car, you want to clean your car, you want to buy a brand new car.
Okay, but again, car is a material object, and material object can be used for Krishna conscious purposes and for materialistic purposes.
Attachment when you don't have Krishna in the center. Attachment in the sense that you don't have Krishna in the center.
Yes, so we're looking for this specific attachment. Attachment to what?
Selfish things.
Give me a more specific example. Attachment to something which is obstructing our Krishna conscious development seriously.
Attachment to alcohol.
Okay, attachment to alcohol. So can you think of guilt connected to that attachment?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what it talks about. Bhagavad Gita speaks about the root cause, but modern researchers, they look at the effect side of things. So that's the only difference, but they speak about the same thing. Then, of course, second one is health and energy. Definitely, you need to have health and energy to become successful. Or, yeah, if you are successful, you're supposed to be healthy and energetic. Then harmony in relationships. Then fourth, financial freedom. Not to mistake with freedom from finances. Then fifth is worthy goals. And sixth is achievements. So this is what we'll be discussing and practicing in the next 2-3 days until Sunday. We'll be discussing how and why we should have all these things in our lives. To become Krishna conscious and to serve Krishna to the full capacity. All right? And now I want to ask those of you who want to share, you know, briefly, I kind of highlighted what the course will be about, what the course will entail, and so you can share your expectations or aspirations from the course, or your motivation. Why did you come here? I'm sure all of you could be doing many other things, right? But you chose to come to this course. Okay, anyone wants to share your expectations, aspirations, motivations? Okay, no one has any. Okay, Nitai Kirsten probably has something.
To see how Bhagavad Gita verses can be applied in real life, that really attracted me to this course.
Okay.
The practical application.
Good. Thank you. Okay. And if you could also please introduce yourself.
You know Raghupati?
For me.
Do you know Raghupati?
Raghupati, yeah.
Raghupati Prabhu. Well, he was in Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His wife.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Nice to meet him. Yeah.
I was hoping that I could learn how to help my family, specifically my daughter, because she goes to school and she is bombarded with, you know, these notions of how to be successful, how to achieve, and she's in a very top school, so they push a lot. And she may have reservations how, you know, Krishna consciousness, success, how it ties in with the success she's understanding at school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you. Somebody else?
I just wanted to learn how to be equipoised.
Okay, that's good. How to be equipoised. Yeah, this is very nice motivation. Bhagavad Gita talks a lot about that one. How to become free from the influence of duality. How many verses in Bhagavad Gita mention, you know, stress that point. Thank you. Anyone else? Mayapur Madhav Prabhu.
I think my expectation is to understand how we can contact Supersoul. That was quite interesting.
Okay.
Because intuition is an interesting thing, and, you know, as devotees, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
All right.
So contacting.
Okay. Immediately shooting for the sixth session. Okay. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? One or two more. Okay, nobody else has any expectations. You were just walking by, right? Passing by. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
It's not really an expectation, really. I'm just hoping for some inspiration to see where I could change myself in my own Krishna consciousness.
Wonderful, yes. It's a very good expectation or aspiration, because, you know, my personal motivation in doing this kind of courses, because we have plenty of courses in our society aimed at giving people, you know, providing devotees with information. But there are very, very few courses aimed at providing devotees with transformation. And how many of you think that transformation is not less important than information? Anyone would agree with me? Yeah, thank you. All right, last chance. Okay, nobody else has any expectations. If you express your expectations, we'll try to incorporate them into the course, okay?
Will this course help us become more successful even materially, as well as spiritually?
Sure, yes, it will. But there is one but, as always. Actually, the statistics show that so many people taking the courses related to success, but not that many people actually becoming successful. Why?
They don't apply it.
Yes, they don't apply that in their lives. And why they don't do that? For a very simple reason. Prayana upayusha sapya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyehu padvitaha. Some of you recognizing these words, yeah? What it talks about? What is the primary fault?
People are lazy.
Yes, laziness. People are lazy. So that laziness have to be, you know, dealt with somehow or other. So how many of you feel this way, that you could be doing much better, but you tend to procrastinate, you tend to postpone things for later, even though you know that these things are important? How many of you feel that it's relevant to you? Who knows what to do? Anyone knows what to do?
Come to your course.
Oh, that could be a good start, but it's not enough. Because I've done these courses in many countries, and I can promise you not everyone, or not even majority of devotees are successful. Very few, for this very reason.
We need to reflect about what we've learned immediately and apply it. And so the reflection stage has to be there.
Yeah, reflection stage has to be there. But what would ensure, anything which could ensure that you will apply that knowledge in your life?
Find some sort of determination within us.
Determination, well, this is exactly, you know, laziness and determination are exactly on the opposite sides of the scale. So anyone has an idea?
I think it's very important to have good sadhana, because I know when I'm having a difficult day, it's because I didn't chant my rounds properly. But when I chant very seriously and I apply myself, then I find that when I go out to work or meet people or interact with people who are non-devotees, I tend to be able to have that empowerment to deal with obstacles and difficulties better.
Yeah, again, same thing, that it's something what we have to do, but there is no guarantee that we will do that. Even in sadhana, how many of you notice that, you know, something will inspire you to follow perfect sadhana, but then after a while your sadhana kind of goes, whoops.
Consistency.
Huh?
Consistency,
again, something which we shouldn't be having, but then it's a big question mark. Do we have that or not? Higher purpose, okay. That's something which could help, agree? Yeah.
Is it because we forget the goal?
Yeah, that's also there, yes.
Maybe if we have some accountability, if you have a mentor, someone.
Exactly, thank you, Prabhu. And your name is?
Madhur Nityananda.
Madhur?
Nityananda.
Nityananda Brahma, thank you. Let's give him a big round of applause. Yes, accountability. In the material world, you know, like someone knows that I have to do exercises to stay fit and healthy, right? But people cannot force themselves. So what do? They get themselves a coach. And they pay this coach a lot of money for one single purpose. Make sure that this coach is kicking them, you know where, regularly, to make sure that they do that. So, you know. And what's our Krishna conscious application of the same principle? Guru, but it doesn't refer only to your Diksha Guru, who could be traveling and preaching on the other side of a planet. It also implies having an immediate guide or, you know, spiritual coach, someone who is next to you, someone who is observing you, someone who can kick you if necessary and make sure that you do what you're supposed to be doing, right? Shiksha Guru. So that's very important. And I think without that, as Madhur Nityananda Guru mentioned, without having this accountability, you know, unless you are, you know, self-motivated with, you know, higher goals or higher principles, you know, which is very rare, unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, it's not going to work. Yes, Rishi.
Sanjay helps if there's two people in the family, Holy Krishna consciousness, then you keep a check on each other.
Yeah.
Especially husband and wife, they're very quick to tell each other, you know, you're sleeping here, you're sleeping here.
Yeah.
That's
thank you.
Really useful.
Thank you. Yes, that's very good. Yeah. Can be. Yeah. Families can take advantage of
good example.
Yeah. That's good experience.
Yeah. Very good. Yes. All right. So, let's start. And we'll be looking into the topic connected to the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada translated the title as Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra. But the Sanskrit title is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. And who knows what is Vishada? Vishada? Yes. Sorrow, grief, lamentation. So this is what happened to Arjuna. He was lamenting. Why he was lamenting? What he was lamenting about?
Fighting his uncles.
Yeah. About the inevitable death of his immediate relatives from his hands, because he was supposed to be killing them, which he just couldn't imagine doing,